No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchups episode. We're starting with the defense, and as always, joining me to do that is Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for another defensive matchup show. Had a very well-needed bye week this past week. Let's see if the Ravens can build on something and get the ball rolling in the second half of the season.
Tough start, that's for sure. Lots of soul-searching. Frankly, we're recording this on Tuesday night this week, and the matchups is coming out a little early, so you may have noticed that. Different schedule this week with no game to report on immediately after. So I do hope you'll go back and take a look at the bye week roster breakdowns. They're detailed, and they talk about the cap situation and relative value of each player on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. We're jumping into matchups. We're hoping to have a Know Your Foe episode tomorrow. I have not yet been able to schedule that, but I'm still hoping. So we'll get into the first matchup right now for the defensive side of the ball. What do you have for us, Frazier?
Yep, my first matchup is the Chicago Bears running backs versus the Ravens front seven. They had an impressive performance against the Saints last week, led by DeAndre Swift, who is a timely veteran in the league, knows how to be patient, knows how to hit the hole. And then also they have a pretty good rookie behind them in Mona Guy. So they could be an issue, not to the extent of Montgomery and Gibbs, but they can pose that threat. They both are productive out of the backfield. Offensive line does make holes. They can get some push up front. The Ravens have had issues in the past. They had a very good run defense performance against LA, so it was encouraging. I'm hoping we can build off that and force them to be one-dimensional. But really, it all starts with stopping Swift, making him check his feet, and really it's a matter of the guys up front keeping Roquan clean, keeping Buchanan clean so they can make some plays so DeAndre Swift and any of both running backs can't get going.
Now, occasionally we'll do this and we'll come up with two topics that are exceptionally similar, and that's what happened this week in terms of the run game for the Bears. But to me, it's the Ravens defensive line versus the Bears offensive line, very much needing to control space. So when you talk about keeping an inside linebacker clean, they certainly need to do that. If they're trying to duo you, then sometimes you have to try and penetrate against that, force that duo block to hold up longer than they would like, and allow that inside linebacker to move to the gap where he can do the most good. I think this is about containing DeAndre Smith, who has been mediocre after contact at 2.56 yards after contact, but most of his yardage is about 2.14 is before contact. So he's 4.7 yards overall. Definitely a bigger threat before contact. And if you hit him in the backfield, he's not a guy who breaks a ton of tackles. 10 missed tackles forced on the whole season in 89 carries is not a good number. So that's 0.11. I think the Ravens need to manage the space, maintain their gap discipline. It's going to be difficult for one significant reason. They don't have the edge defenders they have earlier to try and cave in that edge. I think the Ravens may do something unexpected and different in that regard, potentially moving Brent Urban to the outside to see if he can get the edge set. But they have to find somebody on early downs who can keep Chicago behind the sticks and set the edge properly and also give them a little bit of pass rush. And that is a tall order. They've got Van Noy and they've got Green, and they can only play so many snaps. And then they have to find somebody else who can stop the run, with Tavius Robinson missing, from Ham. I don't think Rucker will be up. I think it'll be Ham first. Ajabo, who knows what he's going to be able to deliver. And then potentially even Urban, because they have to look for creative solutions at this point and have a guy who can hold the edge. What the Ravens do have in spades to try and neutralize the Chicago offensive line a little bit is a willingness to play multiple heavies, multiple nose tackles on the inside. And if they can, some combination of Okoye and Jones, possibly even Tupou this week, and Jenkins, so that's four nose tackles they could have. They could literally have four nose tackles active. Then if some combination of two or three of those can keep the Chicago from getting effective combination blocks that allow climbers to level two to get in a linebacker, then that could be a real ticket for the Ravens. I think the other key player in this is Kyle Hamilton. He needs to be a guy who finds first contact in the backfield.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the main thing for me is this: it's upsetting we don't have a guy like Malik Harrison, who kind of would fit right into this role, being able to step in the edge, also have a special teams role. We're kind of missing that Swiss Army knife this year. It's kind of tough. Robinson was technically that guy, but everyone else on the depth chart couldn't play up to par, so he ended up being almost our main guy in the edge room. So it's going to be tough without him to really set the edge and maintain gap schemes, like you're saying. But along the lines with the edge room, moving on to my next point,
I just had a little more on this before I want to take a breath and like give you a chance to respond to some of that. But I think that the Ravens may need run blitzes to establish a presence against the run. And at least, and I fully expect that we're going to see a fair amount of under center play action from the Bears in this game. That this is a place where they'll try and really beat the Ravens. And they have a couple of significant weapons against the Ravens. They have Burden in the slot, and they have a couple tight ends who aren't the greatest in the world. Cole Kmet has been somebody that Bears fans like, but I don't think he's that particularly great. And they have another younger tight end who's
Loveland.
So a couple guys who can catch the football. They don't have a ton of catches on the year. They might have between about 17 catches or something. So it's not a lot, but it's potentially a threat that they would pull out of the when they want to make use of play action. And the inside linebackers are going to have to have a good coverage day. They're going to have to take the right read steps and not too many to get beat by play action.
Yeah, I think to your point, the run blitzes are almost crucial. I think you got to send a guy like Trenton Simpson on just the B line, going to the line of scrimmage, hitting a gap, not really thinking much, making good use of his physical ability. So I do agree with you on that. Moving on to my next point, I do have the Ravens pass rush versus the Bears offensive line. It's been tough sledding for the past couple of weeks. Last week we did see a sack fumble from Jenkins out of all people getting that play for us. I think we have to take the gloves off in terms of sending blitzes, just like in the run game, like we talked about. I think the pass game, we have to take the same amount of risks. Like you preach all the time, defense is one on high variance, and we need to take advantage of that. This Bears team is talented, but Caleb Williams has a tendency to hold on to the ball, and we need to take advantage of that. And the fact the offensive line isn't world beaters, they can be beat. You can manipulate their scheme to the point where you can get guys to come scot-free at Caleb Williams. So if we're able to get him off his spot, make him do the ridiculous going back to the line of scrimmage, trying to go forward thing, then I think it'll be a good day for the pass rush. Specifically, I would like to see it on first and second down when they try and do play action and we're able to generate a big negative play to get them behind the sticks so we can put ourselves in second and third and manageable.
Yeah, it'd be a good game for that edge defender to not lose Caleb Williams. Normally, Williams is a guy that is hawked somewhat, not as much as other mobile quarterbacks from the edge player. But this is a game where you need to really keep track of him. And some of your best pass rushing opportunities, some of your best abilities to generate pressure may come on boot plays, on the ability to just get straight downhill. And the Bears will try and figure that out. They'll try and do some scheme things to block that guy, even if it's a minor block or a block that is essentially trying to bait that edge defender. But they'll do something with the tight end probably on that backside of the play to try and be the guy who disrupts a direct run from whoever is playing that that backside edge defender.
Well, so, if it's Ojabo, he'll just take himself out of the play.
So. Yeah, there you go. Ojabo deserves a little bit of credit for being an NFL player here, but honestly, his time in the league I think is coming to an end, and this will probably not necessarily be his last stop. He'll get it. He'll get another chance somewhere else next year. And then that doesn't work out. Yeah.
Or the Seahawks maybe.
Yeah. And it might work out somewhere else for him. I wouldn't put a zero chance on it that somebody finds the right scheme for him, but he's lost all his developmental time with the Ravens. It's just been a big waste. And we're seeing the same thing repeated, I'm afraid, with Emory Jones. I mean, it's already been announced. Emory Jones is not going to play this week. So he's gonna be on the roster, taking up a spot on the 53, but not able to play, which effectively means they started the 3-week window too early.
Yep.
So if they had just waited, they could have had additional practice time, and maybe he's on schedule to return when it happens. Now, even when he returns, he's not gonna be any good. So it doesn't even matter that you delay this, say, another 4 weeks. What would have really mattered is if they decided, you know what? It's week 11. You haven't done any pass blocking yet. They might not have by that point had he not been activated for a couple weeks later. And then they said, you know what, we're shutting you down for the year, and you come back next year, and we'll see where you are and whatnot. That would have been such a much better deal for the Ravens, given what the situation was. But I assume there's a combination of they really think they need him this year. They really need to know who he is for next year. And maybe they just can't get Emory Jones to make an agreement with them of that type, where the player might not have to actively not file a grievance for it to be okay.
Yeah, it's been kind of disappointing with these past couple of draft picks getting these. They've been injured. Like, you have Emory Jones, Ojabo.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I'm blanking on one more. Voorhees, exactly. So it's been a chain of players that we have drafted, not highly, but high enough to make you consider, why are we drafting them if they have red flags with injuries? And you would think the Ravens do their due diligence in these areas, and more often than not, you can trust them with their judgment. So to see them kind of unravel like that is shocking, to say the least.
Voorhees and Vedvik. Yeah, okay, so Vedvik, first of all, occurred while he was with the Ravens, and he was in a wrong place at the wrong time, at late at night in a place in Baltimore he shouldn't have been. Right. So that was bad, but at least the NFI designation protected the Ravens. They're actually able to trade him for a draft pick. Good move. So that worked out just fine. In the case of Voorhees, I think it's working out as well as can be hoped. Voorhees is in his third year, but it's really only his second year for team control purposes out of four. And it looks like he still has enough runway that he could take off over the trees at the end of those run at the end of that runway. Right. He's playing well enough right now that he could get there. And he could get there with plenty to spare still too. I mean, he's all right for the rest of this year at this point. But in the case of Ajabo, you know, his ceiling was completely limited by the fact that he had no NFI designation for the whole year. He came off NFI, and that's, I'm afraid the same thing is going to happen with Jones as well. So we'll see how it works out. He's definitely the runway for the Ravens, at least, has gotten a lot shorter because of this BS injury and the fact that he hasn't been able to pass block for what,
a year now,
seven, eight months. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So getting back to the point though, about early down pass rush, completely in agreement that the Ravens need to find somebody. I think Malik Ham maybe joining the team would be my guess this week. They haven't made another move. They worked out some players. All apparently are Nigerian players, from what I can see.
I'm disappointed in that personally.
They all have those names. So
I don't know if it's some kind of roster loophole that they know about with the international players that they can get with a roster spot. I get it in that case, but come on.
If they
haven't worked out with us so far.
Well, Ajabo didn't work out. And if you're saying Owe didn't work out, I can't agree with that. I mean, he had 10 sacks last year. He's been one of the Ravens' actual players with the ability to pressure, which is why they were able to trade him for something when his time was up here in Baltimore. Was he not as great a value as his first round draft pick? Okay, I could maybe agree with that too. But he doesn't have no value the way Ajabo has had literally no value for 4 years. Agreed. So the guys there, if the nice thing about this is, if they've really got something here, then it could be like the Toronto Blue Jays and other teams that figured out how to get into the Dominican Republic early and had a huge head start in terms of the entire San Pedro de Macorís shortstop conveyor belt, led basically right into Toronto, it seemed like, for a while. It was like the Wild West in terms of signing these guys, because you had no idea how old they were. And they were all lying about it at the behest of one of the main scouts down there, Epi Guerrero. They're all completely lying about their age. And now they have these really strict rules about declaring your age properly, where there's significant penalties involved.
Wow.
But there's nobody was incented to do anything but lie. And all these major leaguers were showing up, and they were 32, and they would adjust their age to 34 or 35 at that point. All the development runway had totally been lost for the player. Anyway, the point being that they've got a number of Nigerian players now that go through camps, and particularly the OC Umenyura camp, that are a potential source of talent. So I don't have a problem with the Ravens trying to figure out if there's value there. There's also supporting that. There's the IPPP designation that you pointed out. Yeah. They do have an ability to get them on the practice squad cheaply. Doesn't create an extra roster spot, just a practice squad spot.
Okay. So
they had it for Okoye. But then Okoye is now on the roster, so that now they have the spot free again, and they could use it on a different Nigerian.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, if as in the terms of trying to use all your resources and trying to utilize every spot, it makes sense. 100%. I'm on board with that.
And I'm with you that I wish there was a legitimate NFL ready pass rusher like Kyle Van Noy or Jadeveon Clowney out there that they could go after. It just does not seem like the Ravens believe there is one.
Yeah.
If they did think, I'm sure they'd sign him because it wouldn't really make any sense otherwise.
It's a shame Clowney had to get signed to Cowboys.
Do you know how he's done so far? Because I have not checked since to see how much he's playing or anything like that.
I haven't heard about him since he got signed. So I think it says a lot. And they're looking for a pass rusher. So
again, they're looking for a pass rusher.
Yep. They're talking about Max Crosby.
Interesting. Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney's played 96 snaps. Looks like he's rushed the passer effectively there. So he would have been a good answer for the Ravens. He has one sack. PFF has him for 8 hurries. It certainly doesn't sound bad to me for what the Ravens are. The Ravens need certainly would include Jadeveon Clowney would meet the bar necessary 100%. All right. I'm going to move on from early down pass rush and go on to the second thing. Were you finished with that or was there any more?
Yeah. We're good.
Okay. So the Ravens secondary versus the talented core of receivers. And we had some overlap here too in yours. I know this was your topic too. We kind of expanded a little bit, but the Ravens have a very talented group of receivers they're facing, in particular a talented group of 3 wide receivers in Roma Dunze, Moore, and Luther Burden. And that's a complex matchup for them. They also have another guy, Zacchaeus, who plays almost always out on the outside, usually at X receiver. But their other guys, they can play anywhere at all. They're in the slot and either side on the outside. The guy who Adunze is the guy who Caleb Williams goes to the most often, 8.2 yards per target, 5 touchdowns. Moore has been very effective. Of course, Moore, a player that a lot of people wanted in the 2019 draft. Basically when the Ravens traded through 22, they had a chance to get more at that point if they'd done it. But anyway, they have some good receivers. Luther Burden he's in the first or second year. I forget right now. He might be a rookie now. But he's one of the good rookies and he's one of the good young receivers. And he represents a very complex matchup for Hamilton. He's not an ideal matchup for Hamilton in the slot. He's a guy who could definitely create too much space from a player like Hamilton, who has less speed. I would think that'd be a significant problem that the Ravens are going to have an answer for in some way. I do expect the Bears to see what they can do with that matchup to try and use Burden from the slot to figure out how he can take advantage of Hamilton or the linebackers if they have to be the ones that end up covering him. So a difficult matchup there. And the Ravens, honestly, they have to get enough pass rush that these matchups don't burn them. I do think we'll see Wiggins continue to travel. Are you with that?
Yeah, 100%. I think this is something we talked about for almost a year and a half since Wiggins been on the team. And last week we saw it with Devontae Adams and he did a good job. I mean, Devontae did leave a couple of plays out there on the field and dropped a couple, but regardless, he was still in good phase, good coverage, and he's earned that right to take the one number one guy and just be on an island. And I'm ready to see him do that this week against Rome. It will be good on good. They're both second-year players, and Caleb loves to go to him. So he's going to get a lot of action. We're going to see where he's at in his development.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Now, again, not a big tight end team. They've got a couple guys, few catches go to the tight end, but it's not a tight end heavy offense. And it's one that hopefully the Ravens have enough coverage talent to take care of the wide receivers, because I think they're going to see a pretty heavy dose of 11 personnel in this game. So if that's the way it's going to be, the Ravens have to be ready for it and have to be able to deal with it. And having three legitimate wide receivers who are on the field at the same time really does make it more difficult in terms of what you decide to do with Hamilton. The 12 personnel teams in a lot of ways make the Ravens decision very easy. In order, you have Hamilton at slot corner is an obvious choice then, if all he's got to do is cover a tight end at the worst. But right. You know, in this case, it does become much more complicated how you have to deal with it. And they may have to really operate opposite the Bears package in terms of how they deploy Hamilton. So we may actually see different safeties on the field. So some combination of Starks or Gilman may not be on the field on certain plays where the Bears have three wide receivers.
And really, the thing is, back to my point for the second point, was the pressure is going to be huge because Ben Johnson likes to call plays that are developing downfield that you need time. So if we can get in the man coverage, have sticky coverage, we really just got to get that initial push up front and contain Caleb Williams. Because if we can get some kind of pressure to get him happy feet back there in the pocket, he's prone to give the defense one a couple times. So we're looking for turnovers. Let's try and play high variance ball.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think some of that pass rush is going to have to come from other places. Having Hamilton at slot corner doesn't increase the chance that he can be involved in the pass rush directly. Yeah. But you got to have others involved too. And you got to not be afraid to drop linemen from the line of scrimmage and have them in short zones. I mean, that's the price you pay a lot of the time to run a complex blitz where you have a safety or an inside linebacker coming, is you end up with a linebacker a defensive lineman in the middle of the field, trying to not get beat.
Yep.
All right. That's it. Always great talking football with you, Frazier. Good to be back on these shows again. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you want to do something nice for the show, there's two things. First of all, like and subscribe on YouTube. Please tell some person you know about the show or the website, how to get to it, how to play it. If they're not comfortable with podcasts, is ideal, so they can play it directly from the website if they want to. If they don't want to get involved with downloading podcasts or whatnot. Also, if you have the time, a five-star 50-word review is always appreciated on your favorite podcast platform. For Frazier Tarr, this is Ken McCusick, and we'll talk to you next time on Matchups.